Yes, so our verse of the year, I believe, does contain those words of life. Paul is speaking a word which is life-giving. I'll just read from verse 16. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. These are words that do things. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We're able to see. The Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We're set free from things that hold us. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. Something happens to us. We're reflecting the Lord's glory. And then are being transformed into his likeness. Paul alluded to this. This is, in a sense, the climax. He alluded to it earlier in the passage, when he talked about the church at Corinth. You yourselves are our letter, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Living proof of the work that God is doing in the people's lives. And it's evident. It's evident to people. So how do we come into this experience of God in that way? The key, to, in my understanding of it, is the first part of verse 16. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord. And to look at that, we're going to just look at some life experiences that Paul had as he was confronted by God. And to do that, we're just going to look at some things that happened to him that's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. At this time, he was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee of the Jewish religion. And he persecuted the followers of Jesus Christ. And we find him here. He has letters with authority to arrest followers of Jesus in Damascus. And he's on his way to Damascus. And suddenly, a light from heaven. We've heard of heaven this morning, haven't we? In the south. The light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the voice replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Notice, Saul addressed this voice as Lord. Lord is someone who is above all other things, who has authority over all other things. And Saul is addressing this voice as Lord. But this was not the first time that Saul had been in a situation where something happened in heaven. We find him earlier in Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 7. As a Pharisee, he was part of the ruling class of the Jewish religion. And he was in the Sanhedrin when Stephen was brought before them on false accusations. But he had to defend himself in front of the Jewish ruling council. And he did. And when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul was part of the Sanhedrin. Paul witnessed what, in a sense, Stephen's testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was with God in heaven. Now in chapter 9, he encounters Jesus for himself. And Paul surrenders to the authority of Jesus and does everything Jesus asks him to do. This was an amazing act of grace on the part of God. God could have allowed Saul at that time just to continue as he was, trying to imprison as many followers of Jesus as he possibly could. It was a hopeless task. But God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, stopped him in his tracks. And Paul recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendered to that authority and continued on his way to Damascus, but he was following a different person now. He wasn't following the law of Israel. He was following the Lord Jesus Christ. When anyone turns to the Lord, it is an act of grace by God. We might not have the same experience as Paul, but there will have been a time in our lives when we will have experienced the Lord Jesus Christ in a real way and responded. But that wasn't us. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, "It is by grace you've been saved, through faith, that not of your own. It is a gift from God, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship." We're made in his image. We are his workmanship, and we are created to do good works that he has done in advance. He's gone ahead of us and done it in advance for us to do. So we're to serve. We're to serve. But the learning didn't stop there for Paul. Paul, being previously part of the Sanhedrin, he knew the law. He knew the law. Through the teaching of Jesus and his relationship with Jesus, Jesus began to show him that the law was a bit different to the law he thought it was. We see in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is teaching about the law. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, or anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Or you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The list is endless, because it's in our heart that we sin. And Paul knew that he couldn't keep the law. In his letter to the church in Rome in chapter 7, he makes this confession. I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his previous life as Saul, he would have had to stop at, what a wretched man I am. There's no other answer. If you can't keep the law, that's it. Grace is, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul had the presence of God within him. And he knew that that presence of God, that power of God within him, could enable him to keep the law. His hope was in Jesus Christ. But he had to, in a sense, he had to come to the end of himself. And this is the same for, he had to come to a point where he had to admit that he wanted to be good. He wanted to do good things. But there was something within him which stopped him. And it was when we make that admission, that's when God the Holy Spirit comes in and really starts to work in our lives, transforming us. Paul continued in his journey following Christ. And in chapter 12 of the letter that he wrote to the church in Rome, he writes, therefore I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul is teaching the church in Rome about the need for us to seek God's Holy Spirit so that our minds are renewed. And so having heart and mind working together, we can obey God. We can live as God wants us to live. So we come back to our verse, and it's the It's the transformation that God does to a person who is surrendered, who was surrendered to him and allows him to work within them. And it produces within us a faith in Christ that surrenders to his authority in our life. It transforms our thinking and our behavior, and our appearance, that we reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to one another. And this is why the church is important. A person can go through the experience that Paul has had and continue on their own. But who are they reflecting the Lord's glory to? It's about being in fellowship with one another and reflecting God to one another as an encouragement to each other. The whole message that Paul preaches is about unity, about being the church and living out as the church in the world. And it is language that is really just inspired by the Holy Spirit.